Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
When our children were younger, we realized that perhaps we let them watch too many movies. Because one of them said to me, they were talking about you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the trilogy. No, it's the Trinity. It's not A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Okay, we need to dial back the Star Wars a little bit. But Jesus will speak a trilogy, and that's what we're going to look at today. If you have your Bibles, it's in Luke 15. We'll have it on the screen in a few moments. Luke chapter 15, we're going to walk through three stories that I've entitled this message, either the Father's Heart or the Holy Trilogy. Here we go, a couple of verses. Luke 15, verses 1 and 2 says this. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, that's Jesus, to hear him. That is a significant statement. Let that just sink in. All the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Those people who were referred to as sinners, tax collectors, there was something about Jesus that they wanted to be near him. Something about Jesus that they wanted to hear what he had to say. Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony of the followers of Jesus? If people who considered themselves sinners and outcasts would want to draw near to us to hear what we had to say because we represent Jesus so well. How long has it been since a society has wanted to hear what the church had to say? The Pharisees gave this complaint. They said, "He receives them." That word in the original language, it means he welcomed them. He welcomed them. What about a world who would hear that we welcome them? That Jesus welcomes them, that there's something winsome, inviting. You are welcome. You are not just tolerated, you're celebrated. You're welcome, you're wanted, you're loved, and you belong. There's a difference between being polite and being welcoming. Jesus will begin this trilogy. Now, remember why Jesus is speaking or to whom he's speaking. He's speaking to sinners and tax collectors. And so as we listen, we're going to listen for messages that they would be hearing, that these sinners and tax collectors would be hearing, and that the Pharisees would be hearing. And by God's grace, hopefully, that we will hear a message for us this morning. Luke 15, verse 4. 4 through 7 says this. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Why does he go looking for the sheep? It's not because it's his only sheep. It was because of the need of the sheep. A sheep without a shepherd in the wilderness is as good as dead. And the shepherd cared about the sheep. And why does he rejoice when he finds it? And why does he call his friends and neighbors and gather them together to celebrate? The sheep that was cared for and cared about is no longer in danger. Loved ones, this is not a story about the shepherd. It's a story about the sheep. And how precious that sheep is. See, the shepherd would be okay without the sheep. It's got 99. But that sheep would not be okay without the shepherd. And there's a rejoicing for the sake of the sheep. There's a shepherd that cares for the sheep. I think that you're probably well aware of a little boy named Parker. 11 years old, the emergency broadcast system, looking for this one. Seemingly the whole city is looking for this one that he might be found. Just one. And he matters. I watched yesterday, the Calgary Police Service, I watched them driving down roads broadcasting Disney songs because he likes Disney. One's missing. It matters. Remember the audience, sinners and Pharisees. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents for the sake of the sinner than the 99 who are not in danger. It's like the shepherd could say to the sheep, look at the danger you avoided because I found you. So when a sinner repents, it's time to celebrate. So the sinners are hearing this. What are they hearing? We're welcome. We're cared for. We're cared about. We're not just tolerated. And when the Pharisees are hearing this, hopefully they should hear, we should celebrate too. Ready for the sequel? Next story. Verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In that day and culture and custom, as far as I understand, that a woman could receive 10 coins prior to their wedding, and sometimes they would even be worn as a garland, connected as a garland around their neck, these 10 coins. The concept would be like an engagement ring. Now, when I proposed to Audrey, I didn't give her the most expensive engagement ring. In fact, I borrowed money from my sister to buy it. Nor did I give her the most expensive wedding ring, nor did she give me the most expensive wedding ring. But you know what? They still mean something to us. They mean something for what they mean. They're significant. And if I were to lose this ring, I'd be pretty upset. You know what I'd do? I'd search for it till I find it, till I found it. It's not that somehow this ring would be in danger. Do you remember the sheep is lost and the sheep is in danger? Sheep without a shepherd? Sheep in the wilderness without the shepherd is as good as dead. It's not that the ring would be in danger. The ring would be fine on its own. But the ring means something to me. And the focus of the story is not so much what's lost as opposed to the one, it's about the one who loses it. The woman lights a lamp and she sweeps her house, searches everywhere until she finds it. Here's the deal. 9 are not complete. It's not a set. 9, it's one is missing. It's not complete. She wants all of them. In fact, every one means something to her, and her dowry would not be complete. Have you ever seen a puzzle with one piece missing? Frost my cookies. Like, you just don't. It's the whole thing is ruined. Doesn't it feel like that? My daughter Emily recently did a puzzle, and one corner piece, it'll show up somewhere. It never did. And what do you do with that puzzle? Like, come on. One piece. Somebody told us, well, can't you get it on Amazon? Well, you know, I know you can get a lot, but that's really asking a lot. They call friends and neighbors. This woman calls her friends and neighbors, says, look what I've lost. The emphasis this time is not just on what was lost, the coin, but what it meant to her owner. Rejoice with me, for I've regained my treasure. Again, remember the audience. What would the sinners hear? God not only cares for me as a shepherd, cares for a sheep, and he can't stand the thought of losing that sheep, but values me so much that heaven would be incomplete without you. Heaven would be incomplete without you. I have prayed this prayer over my kids, over my family. over your kids, over your family, that when we stand before the Lord, let not one be missing. Because everyone matters. Let not one be missing. And what a wonderful message that God will search. God will search for me. Again, the Pharisees would hear, so we should rejoice as well. Here's the transition. Here's the turn. The third part of the trilogy. The first two stories are how the Pharisees should have responded, rejoicing when one sinner repents. The third story is how they did respond. Here we go, verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Dad, give me the stuff. I don't got time for you to die. Give it to me now. I got time to wait. I deserve it. I'm entitled to it. And the father divides to them his livelihood. Not many days go by and he leaves. He got what he wanted. He took with him what he valued and he walked out of relationship. And what's so interesting is what he valued, this is what I want, that's what he wasted. Where he put his value, that's what he squandered. He wasted the possessions. Something that had been saved is now wasted. How long had it taken the father to save that? And how long did it take the son to blow it? But you never hear the father bring this up. Watch the graciousness. Before that, we get to the story where the son is in a tough spot. Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land. In that land, there was a famine. And he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. He had spent it all. What question? Why did he run out? Not only because he had spent it all, but because he had cut himself off from relationship. He had cut himself off from the source of his inheritance. When my kids were younger and when they traveled, I would tell them, all you have to do is call. Just make the phone call. My boy was in junior high school. He went on a missions trip to Mexico. It was the years before everybody and their dog had a cell phone. And so I walked him through, this is how you make a collect phone call. I don't know if those exist anymore. But all you have to do is call. My daughter, Robin, when she was in Bible school in Europe, she was traveling after Bible school with some friends across some countries. And I said to her, all you have to do is call. Doesn't matter about the time change. All you need to do is phone. My daughter, Emily, when she was working at City News in Vancouver, she worked in some scary places. I said to her, all you have to do is call. Listen, winter, spring, summer, or fall. Right? All you got to do is call. And I will do whatever I can to move heaven and earth to help you. And if you need resources and I don't have them, I have friends that I can call, and we will help. All you need to do is phone. How prepared do you think the Father is to respond to one simple prayer? Some of the greatest and most sincere prayers are not the long oratory ones. It's help. Help, God. I need you. Daddy! Heart of the Father's moved. There arose a famine in that land. Now, loved ones, notice there was no famine in the Father's house. And we see that when the Son returns in a minute. There was no famine in the Father's house, but there was a famine in that land. And he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And not only was he out of relationship with the Father, that he had walked out, willingly walked away, but now he is joined and connected, it says, with a citizen of that country. He's connected with someone who lived out of relationship with his Father. And sometimes people do all kinds of things to survive when they're living out of not in a relationship with God. And we get connected to a world, and we get connected to a world system, and we get connected to worldly people that says, this is how the world works. This is how the culture works. This is how the system works. Do this. And it worked out for him that he's now feeding swine. He's feeding the pigs. Not the best job for a good Jewish boy. He would have filled his stomach because it was empty with swine pods. I've never grown up on a farm. There's a few times that I've visited farms, and that slop pail that they throw into the pig's pen, he would have gladly. See, he experienced more than an empty stomach. He experienced an empty life. So many empty promises of fulfillment that didn't work out. Empty pockets, empty stomach, empty life. When we walk away from God, that is the story. That's how the story ends. Empty pockets, empty stomach, empty life. Even if we find material wealth in this planet that's temporary, we discover that will never satisfy. And there's an emptiness in our life without God. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare and to spare? And I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. It does not yet reveal a right heart. He came to himself, which is essentially, I'm missing out. I'm not missing out a relationship with the Father. He didn't say that. They're eating better than me. Self-preservation. Doesn't say that he was missing his dad, but he does know how to come back. Do you hear those two things, repentance and confession? I will repent and I will say. I will repent and I will say to my father. I love that he knew where to go. And it's very encouraging. And this is encouraging for those of us who perhaps children have walked away from the Lord, or siblings or parents have walked away from the Lord. As far as he went and as low as he went, he still had the memory of the Father's house. He still remembered the Father's house. And I can turn and I can get back there. Verse 20. He rose and came to his father. But while he was still a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Lisa led us in one of those songs that talked about God running from heaven. He ran. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Watch this. But the father said to the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began, the New King James says, to be merry. I think the original Greek says, to party on, dude. Right? They began to celebrate. This wonderful picture of God. The father saw him afar off, and he was on the lookout for him, and he had compassion on him, and he ran. And it's so inappropriate for that father to run, and it's so overwhelming for that father to run. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And if they could hear anything, the sinners listening, the Pharisees listening, if they could hear anything, oh, dear God, let them hear and let us hear that his worth as a son was never based on his performance. that your worth and value as a son or a daughter, a child of God, is never based on your performance, on getting it all right. And then the father never mentioned the stuff. When the son comes back, he just said, where is it? Where's the rest? Instead, he proclaims a feast because without a relationship, a sinner's come home. Jesus talking about the celebration in the father's house. No famine in the father's house. The fatted calf is killed. But the inheritance hadn't just been given to one. It says that he divided it to them. Now, there's nothing in the story. It's a parable. It's a story. But there's no indication that the father stopped making money. Well, the son was gone. Like, so, oh, you gave it all. Really? Look what I can do. Loved ones, there's no shortage in the father's house. There is no shortage in the father's house. Look at these next verses, and remember the Pharisees are there listening. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because your father, he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. He was in the field. Do you know what that means? He was working for the father. I'm working for you. That's where he came in from. And he was angry. And watch this. Therefore, the father went out to him. Pharisees listening. The father went out to him. The father left the party because the son was missing. His other son was, he left that celebration because the party was incomplete because his other son was missing. Look what I've done for you and look what you haven't done for me. This son of yours, he doesn't say my brother, this son of yours, not acknowledging any connection to him. And the dad says, you're always with me. Your brother, not just my son, is alive again. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, which was blind, but now I see. What, you know. Blind see, lost found. Dead, alive. What do you think the hearers are recognizing is important to God? Relationship. Relationship. Relationship is priority. Repentance to sinners. Why did the father let the son go? Because forced love is no love at all. You want to walk away, you can. Free will is valuable. But he wanted relationship. And the inheritance was based on relationship because you're my son. The return was based on relationship because you're my son. The restoration was based on relationship. I'll be your servant. And the dad said, not on your life. You're my son. You're my child. That is not how this works. I don't care about what you wasted. You're my child. This returning son didn't understand it. I'm not worthy to be your son. It's never based on our performance. Listen, loved ones, the father allowed him to walk away, and he allowed him to return with no bitter aftertaste of unforgiveness. He made it easy for him to come back with no bitter aftertaste of unforgiveness. This is my son. It's party time. The prodigal didn't realize what he had. The elder son didn't realize what he had. He says to the older son, you were always with me. Are you missing the point? You're looking at the stuff. You were always with me. Relationship with the father is what matters. It's not about inheritance, it's about relationship. I'm going to close in just a second. All that I have is yours. It doesn't matter about that. And I just want to, doesn't matter about this stuff. I hope we can see this morning, because often I've read this story and thought, you know, he's really tuning the Pharisees in about their attitude. But I don't think he's just tuning them in. I think he's inviting. Hey, I want you to, this is an invitation to the Pharisees. Change your attitude and you are welcome. It's not just, hey, you have a bad attitude, I'm going to point it out. It's you're welcome to the party, and it's incomplete without you. I don't care about the fatted calf. Your brother's returned. The squandering means nothing. It's a relationship that's important. And I hope you can see this morning, I hope we can see this morning, how God sees you, how God sees each one of us. Know that the Lord cares so deeply about you and wants to have a relationship with you. All you got to do is make a phone call. Just call. And he will be right there. I know this at the age of my children when I told them. And I still would at any moment when they call. But at the age of when I told them this, the ages that they were, you know, just call and all that, they had no idea of the resources I have to reach them. And no idea what I would be willing to do to get help, to get them help. I think we have no idea of the resources God has to reach us and to help us. Or maybe we do, because Romans tells us this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is the good shepherd, and he loves you. As a shepherd loves the sheep, he loves you. And the shepherd will be okay without the sheep in just the sense of he's not in danger. But the sheep without the shepherd is as good as dead. And so the shepherd will look for you and look out for you and will rescue you. And we know that way back in the Garden of Eden, when God said to Adam and Eve, after they had sinned and were hiding, where are you? He knew where they were all along. But he says, where are you? And he gave them the chance to come. And that's when the shepherd, this great shepherd of the sheep, looks at us. He says, where are you? He knows. He knows where we are. But just the invitation, he was going after the sheep because you were so, so precious. He loves you. The woman with the coins, not complete without you. God, everyone matters to God. Every person. The guys hanging out downtown, hearing the message, being prayed for. Everyone is so valuable. Sometimes we think, well, what? God loves them. God loves them. I know he's God. God's got to love. You know, he loves everybody, so he's got to love me. It's not like that. He values you. He treasures you. Heaven's not complete without you. And no matter how you have wasted opportunities, wasted your life, wasted chances, wasted years, whatever it is, don't waste another moment in coming back and returning to him. That's where the real waste is. Because God can supply all the other stuff. He can make up the years. He can restore. He can read. He can do it all. But don't waste a minute. Come to him now. The doors are open. And may we hear that message, and may those around us hear the message. God loves us. He'll go after us like a sheep. We're so valuable. Heaven is not complete without you. He wants you there. Don't waste any time. Come to Jesus. So, Lord, we love you. We pray that you would let this just settle in our hearts, this trilogy of stories of how much you love us. God, thank you that you are the good shepherd that cares for the sheep. Thank you that you are the one who values us so much that you'll search everywhere for us, that we would turn to you. And God, for any of us who have walked away like a prodigal or stood outside and thought, I deserve more, I deserve this, God, would you just touch our hearts that we might come and live in close relationship with you. and help us to take the message to those who love you, who will love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.